Welcome to the Lancet Digital Health Podcast. I'm Gustavo Manera, and today we are diving into a fascinating study that could transform how we detect cardiac arrest using technology. And joining me today is Dr. Judith Bones, the leading author of the study. Dr. Bones, thank you for being here today with us. And before we start, would you like to introduce yourself and share how you got involved into digital health?
Thank you for the invitation. I'm Judith Bonos. I'm working as a cardiologist in the Radboud University Medical Center that's situated in the Netherlands. It was, I think, in 2021 that the Dutch Heart Foundation opened a call, and they challenged researchers to come with a technological solution for automated cardiac arrest detection. We made a proposal that was the DETECT project, and we secured funding. So that was the primary reason that this project has been initiated and that I was involved in the project.
Yeah, that is fantastic. And so we are starting our conversation in this topic, and perhaps you could begin with addressing what are the main challenges with out-of-hospital cardiac arrests.
And the biggest problem with cardiac arrests when nobody's around is that it takes a while before someone starts life-saving interventions. So before someone starts cardiopulmonary resuscitation, chest compressions, ventilations, and if available, defibrillation shock with an AED. And that significantly affects the chance of survival from cardiac arrest. In the majority of unwitnessed cardiac arrest, the delay to initiation of cardiopulmonary resuscitation is too long, and this results in survival rates of less than 5%. So if we look in the past years, there have been several improvements to increase survival from cardiac arrest. For example, citizen rescuer networks have been established. More and more AEDs are coming publicly available. And this increased the survival from cardiac arrest. But this only makes sense in case that there's a witness of cardiac arrest, that there is someone alerts the emergency medical services. So if we want to enhance survival rates further, we have to find a solution for those with unwitnessed cardiac arrest. So we have to try to transform an unwitnessed cardiac arrest into a witnessed event. And that is the background of the DETECT project. So we aim to develop a full technological solution that is able to automatically detect cardiac arrest and alert the emergency medical services.
Well, that's fantastic. Yeah, it's very important to automatically detect those events. So perhaps we could dive into the process, how you develop and validate the algorithm used for this circulatory arrest detection.
Yes, the DETECT one study is the first study of the DETECT project. And in this study, we enrolled patients who underwent short-lasting circulatory arrest induction. And this could be patients who underwent heart valve replacement or patients who underwent ventricular fibrillation induction during ICD implantation. An ICD is a kind of pacemaker with an additional function that it can also treat life-threatening arrhythmias. And we asked these patients to wear the cardiowatch, that's a wristband, during the procedure. And this wristband incorporates PPG sensors, so that's photoplethysmography. And the PPG sensors use light to detect variations in the blood volume under the skin. And this gives us a way to monitor pulsations and get insight into the blood flow. So we gathered the PPG data throughout the entire procedure, and we utilized this to develop an algorithm to detect circulatory arrest. So the algorithm had to identify episodes of circulatory arrest and differentiate them from normal blood flow patterns. During normal conditions, the PPG signal recorded at the skin exhibits a pulsatile waveform. But when there's a cardiac arrest, the PPG signal becomes flat. And this occurs regardless of the cardiac rhythm or the cause of cardiac arrest. So both in case of a shockable, but also in a non-shockable cardiac arrest, the EKG signal loses its normal pulsatile pattern and becomes flat. And how the algorithm works is that as a first step, the algorithm establishes a threshold below which there's a suspicion of a cardiac arrest. When the amplitude falls below this threshold, the algorithm assesses various features of the PPG signal. And these features help to determine whether the PPG signal is still a typical PPG signal. So if that is the case, no cardiac arrest alarm is triggered. But if the signal has a low amplitude and it deviates significantly from a normal PPG signal, then there's a potential cardiac arrest and an alarm is triggered.
Yeah, well, this is fantastic to get this information for patients that are going to be submitted to a cardiac arrest. So you have a perfect scenario to detect, to have this data and then analyze and validate it. So perhaps you could talk a little bit more about the results, the discoveries of your findings.
Yeah, using this PPG algorithm, it was very accurate. So it had a sensitivity of 98% to detect induced circulatory arrest. And so almost all circulatory arrests were detected. The number of false positive alarms was relatively low, but I think it still needs to be improved. Now, we also assessed the sensitivity in detecting spontaneous cardiac arrests because there were a few episodes during the cardiac procedures, and all but one of the episodes were correctly identified. The lone undetected episode was characterized by a very noisy signal, and likely resulting from immediate resuscitative interventions of the medical team. And third, we also assessed the sensitivity in short-lasting circulatory arrest induction induced by blood pressure cuff inflation. So the blood pressure cuff was inflated at the same arm as where the wristband was applied. So then you also have a short-lasting circulatory arrest for the wristband. And all these episodes were detected correctly. Then if we look at the false positive alarms, they were infrequent, but for practical implementation, it's crucial to further minimize the number of false positive alarms because you want to avoid unnecessary activation of the emergency medical service.
Thank you very much for explaining how all this detailed process of validation was done. It's very important indeed to have accurate results on false negative and positive results. So, as you were saying at the beginning of our conversation about the DETECT project, perhaps you could explain a bit more about the next steps of the DETECT project, where you want to achieve, what you want to achieve with the bigger picture of this project.
Yes, the overall goal of DETECT is to develop a full technological solution for automated cardiac arrest detection and alarming. And in DETECT 1, we only took the first step. So we developed the PPG-based algorithm for the circulatory arrest detection. As a next step on the short term, we will perform a validation study. So the algorithm needs to be validated externally. And we will also study the performance of the algorithm for spontaneous cardiac arrest. So that study is currently ongoing. It's a study that runs at the intensive care unit. And there we investigate the functioning of the wristband in patients who die because of planned treatment withdrawal. In this setting, we don't have a sudden cardiac arrest, but we also have a more gradual cardiac arrest. So we are very curious to see how the algorithm performs in this setting, and we may have to adapt threshold to further improve its performance. Then as a second important step, we will try to what is the effect of the implementation of additional sensor technologies. So can we further improve the algorithm? I think we already have a very high sensitivity, but false positive alarms need to be lowered. And as a third step, we will try to make the step to the home setting. So we will assess the number of false positive alarms when subjects are using the wristband at home. So this, the DETECT 3 study will be performed entirely in a home setting, and it will primarily focus on the assessment of the number of false positive alarms, false positive circulatory arrest alarms when participants use the wristband during normal daily activities. So that are the next steps we will take in the short term.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you very much for sharing all these details, and very excited to see these results published soon. So perhaps, as you were saying about detecting cardiac arrest outside of the hospital, maybe you could talk a little bit about the implementation of this approach in real-world clinical practice. How do you see this happening in the future, and what are the main challenges?
First, we envision the wristbands being used by specific populations with an increased risk of cardiac arrest, such as individuals with a family history of cardiac arrest, those with cardiomyopathies, of those with a previous myocardial infarction. So the device is intended for patients with an increased risk of sudden cardiac arrest, but those who do not meet ICD criteria, so a bit lower risk than the ICD patients. We expect users to wear the wristband during the entire day, so it will be a multifunctional device, not only having a cardiac arrest detection solution, but also incorporating features like physical activities and sleep patterns. And in the event of a circulatory arrest, the wristband will notify the dispatch center and prompting the deployment of both citizen rescuers and also the ambulance. And then the wristband needs to transmit their last recorded PPG signal, but also personal details of the user and also GPS coordinates. So together with our partner Corsano Health, this needs to be developed. Also a new device needs to be developed to enable these functionalities.
Yeah, fantastic. And do you think this could be something like a smart watch that people with high risks of cardiac arrest could just buy in a store and use and share the results of a cardiologist?
Well, together with the Dutch Heart Foundation and also with other research groups in this field, we are already discussing a potential implementation strategy. And also the points like you mentioned, that's also a discussion. So who will be the target groups? Should it become available for everyone or only for high-risk patients? Also, who will fund it? So in the next month, we will have an implementation meeting together with all these partners. But we will also invite stakeholders like the ambulance service, dispatch center, cardiologists, but also insurance companies. And we will discuss together how we see the future implementation strategy. So we have to account. Of course, the first important step is that we need a well-functioning device with excellent sensitivity and very low false positives. But we also have to account for practical issues, for ethical issues, and also legal considerations.
Yeah, many points to be addressed, but all makes think that we're going the correct direction based on this first study published. And yeah, so perhaps a last technical question. We see a lot of wearables used in cardiology studies, perhaps using different types of data such as ECG. So perhaps you could explain a bit why this type of wearable would be better than an ECG recording.
I think first, PPG is a non-invasive method. It's user-friendly and it's comfortable. It uses light to detect blood volume changes under the skin. And PPG sensors can easily be integrated into wearable devices in a more compact and more convenient manner than EKG electrodes. A second advantage is that although the PPG signal is susceptible to noise, particularly stemming from body movements, its susceptibility is lower than that of the EKG signal. And noise has the potential to imitate ventricular fibrillation on the EKG signal. But in the PPG signal, all forms of cardiac arrest result in a flat PPG signal. So it does not resemble noise because noise gives a peaky signal. So that's the second advantage. And third, the EKG signal captures the electrical activity of the heart. And the EKG signal may fail to detect cardiac arrest in case of pulseless electrical activity. So in case of pulseless electrical activity, you have electrical activity, but the heart is not contracting. And you will not capture that kind of cardiac arrest on the EKG, but PPG will, because also then you don't have pulsations and the PPG signal becomes flat. So I think that are three advantages of the PPG signal.
Well, that's fantastic. Thank you very much for providing this explanation. So to end our conversation, you could briefly mention some limitations you find in your current study and how this could possibly be addressed in future studies.
I think an important limitation, and I think also what we definitely do different in another study, is that our reference standard, that was a blood pressure measurement with an arterial line, was not always inserted at the same arm as where the wristband was applied. So that is a reason that we, well, maybe one of the reasons, that we don't understand all the false positive alarms. So in some cases, especially in the validation set, there were slightly more false positive alarms than we would have expected. And we are unaware of the reason of that. And the fact that the arterial line could also be inserted in the opposite arm or in the femoral artery might be a reason for that. So in a future study, I would insert the arterial line in the same arm as where the wristband was applied. So that's an important limitation that we could have done better.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thank you very much for the very nice conversation. And we are looking forward to see more studies from your group. And of course, with this technology that would increase the prevention of cardiac arrest and the outcomes of those events. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.